6:09 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning. It is Friday. I want to thank the Parks Casino for sponsoring New Jersey Chime Time every morning, every hour on the show. A lot to get to today. We've got Chris Calori, who is the head of New Jersey Transit, will be calling us after the 7:30 news, so stay tuned for that. Our whole plan was to talk about FIFA, the World Cup, and if there was a New York Knicks championship game 6 and what that would look like on New Jersey Transit specifically. But, of course, this morning, Eric, we've got the news that there was an Amtrak fire and all lines are suspended.
Yeah.
North of Newark Penn Station. So what a nightmare. So you get on the Northeast Corridor, you're getting off in Newark, and you got to take another train or a bus. I can only imagine what the traffic is looking like right now.
Well, I mean, this is going to be a preview of what's going to happen during the World Cup. And, you know, I just don't know how commuters are going to deal with this. You know, and so it'll be interesting to hear from Calori. And then you also have, you know, the potential game 6 in the NBA championship with the Knicks at the Garden, which NJT has already basically come out and said, well, you're on your own. You're going to have to take
that
train.
Well, that's my question, you know, because it's certainly how it's being characterized. And I wonder if he'll repeat that call today or say, no, we're making it simple. Like maybe I would love, I'm going to err on the side of giving Chris the benefit of the doubt, saying maybe they've got a specific workaround that they can post and say, this is exactly what you do if you're coming from, you know, any of the Monmouth County stations, or if you're coming from Central Jersey, you're coming from Princeton or New Brunswick, this is what you do. That's what I'm looking for.
I just got an updated statement from Amtrak. I'm just looking to see if there's any new information. About 1:25 a.m. this morning, all rail service between New York and New Jersey was temporarily suspended because of a smoke and fire condition involving an Amtrak contractor maintenance vehicle in one of the Hudson tunnels. Amtrak service restoration to and from New York and New Jersey and points south is not expected until this afternoon.
Wow. So that blows up the entire morning commute. Great if you can work from home. Not so good if you are reporting to a job in Manhattan, which requires you to be there.
Right.
So your staff is going to be late today. So we'll keep you posted on that as we hear updates from New Jersey Transit and Amtrak. And tune in after the 7:30 news to hear Chris Calori, who is the head of New Jersey Transit, and we'll see what he's got to say. And, you know, we've got questions, so we're going to, if you've got questions for him, let me know in the app chat. Send us a note. If you download the app, it's on your phone. Send us a note directly on the app chat, and I'll be happy to look through that and ask relevant and appropriate questions on your behalf. The other thing going on today, this ICE protest, I think, has gotten completely out of hand. First of all, Eric, you reported on the lunatic who was threatening the ICE agent, threatening me. Just like that guy absolutely needs to be prosecuted. What I'm angered by is why there is, you know, the liberals now are hiding behind their right to assemble and free speech and all this. Yeah. Meanwhile, the contrast is the legislature, the Senate yesterday passed a law that will head to the assembly and most likely to the governor's desk, limiting free speech when it comes to pregnancy resource centers and how they talk to patients about abortions. And the left is fine to limit that free speech, but now they want to open free speech when it comes to protesting our government, specifically ICE, even when that, I'm putting air quotes on the free speech, gets to a point of violence, inciting violence, threats, and obstructing justice. I want to know why they're even allowed to be on the same sidewalk. There should be a buffer around all of those federal facilities.
Well, I mean, they were trying to create a buffer at one point, and the protesters basically overran it. And you had, at one point, Wednesday into Thursday, you had ICE agents out there basically with their nightsticks trying to push the protesters back.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I think they've shown tremendous restraint.
The ICE agents have. I agree.
And, you know, you had 6 arrests again overnight. You're searching for this guy that was caught on video. And then you have Jen Davenport, the attorney general, issuing a statement last night saying, we respect the right to protest, but violence is never accepted, and is trying to de-escalate the situation. Just a couple of days after Governor Mikey Sherrill on Memorial Day stood with protesters in Newark outside Delaney Hall. So it is... Something's going to have to be done to clear them out. It isn't going to go well, I don't think, for either side if and when it comes to that.
I'm just pulling up here. If you know who this guy is, do we have a video at...
I'm working on that story right now. But right. Yes, if you know who he is, I mean, look, you'll see it in your social media feed.
Yeah.
Contact the FBI because they're going to go after him.
I was going to say, is that because I've got the ICE tip line, but it's the FBI tip line that you need to call,
it's
right?
It's the Justice Department that is going to arrest them. I mean, you could use the ICE tip line as well. And right. that'll get fed to the FBI. But the FBI is an arm of the Justice Department.
Yeah.
Will be the...
The number is 1-800-CALL-FBI. That's 225-5324. CALL-FBI. 1-800-CALL-FBI if you recognize that guy. He absolutely needs to be brought to justice. All right. It is 6:15. Traffic and weather next.
Your news, your state, your station. Get breaking news, traffic, weather, and alerts on the New Jersey 101.5 app. Sponsored by Hackensack Meridian Health.
And five.
6:22 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. Happy Friday. Unless you're on Route 1 right now, Joe Myra, not happy, heading up to, Alexander Road?
Alexander to Washington.
Which way is it closed?
Both
directions.
Yep. Yes.
So you got to stay on 27 if you are...
Kind of, but I mean, that's if you're on that niche of...
You're on the other side
of town, yeah, or where you're
going.
What
are you doing, go through Plainsboro? I mean, it's...
Route 130.
Or just wait. You know what? Sleep in.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Or enjoy scenic, Princeton Junction, West Windsor. And
it's, Route 1 is always a problem. It's a problem when it's not closed.
Yes. The corridor.
I would say that dominates the traffic report south. Route 1.
Yeah, that and 295. Yeah.
Right? There's always something on Route 1.
I just want to know who came up with the corridor name. That really bugs me. I guess because I went to Catholic school. So, like, in Catholic school, they were called the corridors. It was like, be quiet in the corridor.
Right, not halls. There were corridors.
They were corridors.
Oh, that's
funny.
It
was the lavatory. You know, you lined up for lavatory. But corridor cracks me up, like, with the trains. I can understand with the trains, kind of, because it's that
I think it's the whole
branch.
Thing, the whole movement north.
But the Route 1 corridor, you'll never hear me saying that. I don't know who, why.
That's the first I've heard you say it. Who says it?
It's been set in traffic for years.
Well, the corridor is closed at this point. So regardless of what you call it.
Pretty serious.
So it's a serious accident between Washington and Alexander.
Yeah. And then there was another accident. This happens sometimes. You'll have an accident. And then what happened was there was somebody comes up to the delay, doesn't see it. Boom.
All the time.
Yep.
I'll say this for all of you driving on Route 1. It is a dangerous road. And I will tell you, when I'm driving, so I'll be in New York tonight. I've got two shows I'm doing tonight on Newsmax.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm doing 5 o'clock on the regular channel, and then 6 o'clock on N2, which is their streaming service, PM.
Okay.
So I'm going to leave probably 1:30 to get there by 3:30, give myself 2 hours. But then tomorrow morning, I'm on the 7 o'clock show. AM. So I'll leave my house at 4:15. That I find is the most dangerous time on Route 1 because I come out Quaker Bridge and I get on to Route 1 and I follow that north, sometimes all the way to 440.
And if you hit the lights right,
you're fine. Here's the problem.
Beautiful thing.
I am in the left lane. If I'm stopped at a light, this has happened 3 times now.
Oh boy.
In the last 3 months, someone behind me, I see the lights coming. They don't even think about stopping.
Yes.
They're blown by 90 miles an hour right through the light because it's 4 a.m. Like, they think they'll see the traffic on either side. You don't always see it.
That might be what happened this morning.
Yeah.
It's a very good chance.
Super dangerous. Yep. I see it all the time.
And we had a horrible accident just north of this area. That was like South Brunswick, and it was the fatal. It was terrible,
horrible.
You know? Yeah.
So you're literally taking your life into your hands. I do not understand just not stopping at the light at all. Like, just literally ignoring it. and you're already driving at an unsafe speed. And guys, look, I am no Boy Scout when it comes to driving. I cut my teeth driving in New York and Boston, and, you know, I can drive as aggressive as the next one. I would argue in New York City, you have to be aggressive in order to get where you're going. But you've also got to have eyes in the back of your head, and you got to make sure your peripheral vision is working, and you can see that there are pedestrians everywhere. Now, on Route 1 in the morning, you think that there's no one around. Well, I'm around, and there are delivery drivers around, and there are people that make that early morning commute, and it is not worth a life risk to blow by at 90 miles an hour. I get it. You speed all you want up to a certain amount, but if you're going past 75 miles an hour on Route 1, it's super dangerous, but stop at the light. Just stop at the light. This is why we have accidents almost every day on that road. So anyway, just be more careful. And my question to you is, are you stuck in traffic right now? And I mean, obviously it's always better to be in the traffic than in the accident, obviously. But what is your commuter nightmare this morning? Where are you trying to get to? And are you held up between New Jersey Transit not operating north of Newark Penn Station and Route 1 being closed? This morning is shaping up to be one hell of a Jersey commute morning. 1-800-283-101.5 is my number. 6:27 is the time. Eric Scott with the news next. 6:37 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning, talking Jersey. Taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. You know, Eric, there's even a buffer with the bear protesters, the bear hunt protesters.
Yeah.
They have to keep a certain distance from the way stations, et cetera. So I think the challenge here, talking about this Newark ICE facility, a couple things. One, it's run by a private company, and I think that makes it easier to get up closer to access it. You think about the government buildings in Washington, et cetera. There are huge buffers, and it's very difficult to get up close and personal. But with something like this, I mean, I've been there. I was, you know, I did a couple of stand-ups during the campaign out in front of that. This has been an ongoing crisis since that member of Congress got arrested for assaulting a police officer. And is that ongoing? I thought that was that they dropped those charges.
There are still some aspects of the case that have not yet been resolved.
Okay. So, and this is a New Jersey congresswoman. Well, MacIver, right? Is
that MacIver, yep.
That's her name. But these protesters, where I'm looking, like, they are literally at the entrance. That is the gated entrance to get into the facility. So I don't understand why we've not had soldiers come in and push back at least 100 feet from there. Because you're now in a situation where clearly the left, the agitators, want to escalate this. I think it's the only reason Jenny Davenport came out and said, hey, we got to calm down. Meanwhile, the governor was there on Monday, on Memorial Day.
Right.
Stirring it up herself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I think Immigration and Customs Enforcement is being sensitive to the events and the controversy surrounding what happened in Minneapolis. And I do believe they don't want a repeat of that.
I'm sure.
You know, I think that's why you're seeing the level of restraint that you are with the federal agents around Delaney Hall at this point. However, now you're talking about almost a week of protests there, and you see the level of violence is continuing to escalate. At some point, you're going to have to say enough is enough.
Yeah.
You want to protest? That's fine. You're going to do it over there.
Yeah. I mean, at the very least, across the street and not allow street access. I mean, there's plenty of room. It's an industrial area. It's not like there are homes and shops around. There is no reason to be there unless you are working at one of those complexes or one of the warehouses or if you are a detainee. I mean, there is literally no reason to be on that road.
Well, but also keep in mind, the city is involved, too, because this is within the city of Newark. And if the mayor, Ross Baraka, decided that he wanted to send local police in to help and to get people off of city streets,
he could easily do that.
But he won't. He was among those that were there on Memorial Day standing with the protesters.
Oh, Ross is crazy. He doesn't care. I mean, I've had so many interactions with him. He's such a nasty guy. And Ross, you're so full of yourself. Honestly, you are so self-important. And between you and the governor, I'm not sure whose ego or ambition is bigger. But I'll tell you this. It is clear to me that one or both of you would love nothing more than for someone to get hurt and be able to point the finger at ICE. I think that it's... This is the cold, calculating world of the radical left. And we saw it with the Southern Law Poverty Center. We saw it with the fact that they are willing to set people up and put them in a position where they could be hurt or killed in order to score political points. And I don't say that lightly, but I do believe that heart of hearts, I don't think they would care if someone got killed, because it would be, it's political theater. I mean, right after that woman was shot in Minneapolis, the governor here started agitating almost immediately, like wanting to be in the spotlight. Like, how come Tim Walz gets all the credit for being in the spotlight?
Yeah, I mean, look, you and I have talked about ever since Mikey Sherrill became governor, that her anti-ICE policies could potentially lead to this type of confrontation. And we're seeing that start to come to fruition, because you have no cooperation from local police. I mean, they are statutorily barred from cooperating with ICE agents. Right. So what happens if the protests start to get out of hand? If you know you're not going to be able to call in help from local law enforcement or the state police, you have no choice but now to mobilize the National Guard or the U.S. military.
Which is, I have been saying this from day one. I think the president should have invoked the Insurrection Act. I think President Trump is being too cute on this. This is a serious, serious situation. Someone's going to get killed. And yes, I think he should have federalized the National Guard months ago. Roll up and get these guys out of there. You know, this First Amendment idea of the right to protest is one thing. You do not have a First Amendment right to obstruct justice. You do not have a First Amendment right to incite violence. You do not have a First Amendment right to compromise the safety of law enforcement in the execution of their lawful duties. And certainly every one of these folks that is being detained has had a judge put a federal detainer order out. That's why they're being detained in the first place. It's not like they're rolling up on brown-skinned people and putting them in cuffs. The left would like you to believe that. That's not true.
That is the narrative, right? That's the narrative from the Democrat and the socialist side of the political spectrum. But, you know, you know that that's not true. And we've continued to post the individuals that are being detained, many of them violent criminals, murderers, child rapists. That's who's inside Delaney Hall. And facts are stubborn things.
I would like to take a tour and take some video of the food that they're getting, because my guess is they're eating better than some of our public housing residents. They're eating better than people are in our hospital system. They're eating better than, certainly we know, they're eating better than the folks in lockup in our county system or prison system.
Well, they're eating better than many school lunches.
Exactly. So I think it's time to swap out all that food that they're getting at Delaney Hall with gruel. I think it should be gray and lumpy and served without utensils. There should be part of the punishment for breaking all of our laws and being a scumbag that we've got to pay to detain you. You should not be getting anything other than the bare protein nutrition that you need to keep your body going so that they can be healthy enough to stand trial and then get thrown the hell out of the country. All right, Tony, Nick, I'll be right back. 6:44, Fast Traffic Instant Weather next.
New Jersey news when it matters. Breaking updates, traffic, weather, and alerts on the New Jersey 101.5 app. Supported by Hackensack Meridian Health.
.651 on New Jersey 101.5. I am Bill Spadia. So we're talking about the standoff at Delaney Hall. Governor's being dishonest, by the way. It was all theater on Monday. She was never going to be allowed access. Legally speaking, governor has no right to just enter a federal facility, even though this is run by a private contractor. The contract is with Immigration and Customs Enforcement. This is, for all intents and purposes, a federal lockdown. And the governor had no legal power or right to go there. She knew that, showed up for the theater anyway, in my opinion, to agitate and incite people for further violence, because the governor benefits if there's violence. I mean, if ICE had to take action and against a threat and someone gets shot, then, you know, the governor right away is going to be on MSNBC and attacking Trump. You know, the governor doesn't care about you if you're out there protesting. What I want to know from these protesters, I hope the money's worth it, because you are risking your life right now. And my advice to you is stand down. What are you doing protesting ICE? What do you care? What do you care? I mean, you're being used as a pawn by Andy Kim and Mikey Sherrill, who have other aspirations. They're using you for their own political benefit. I don't know why you would put yourself in a position to be such a stooge for the far left. And it just, it makes no sense. Let's go to Nick in Forked River. What's going on, Nick?
What's up, Bill? Good morning.
Good morning.
A couple things.
Shoot.
One is, it's funny how they don't like borders, but yet they're building a wall between the protesters.
Of course.
And
yeah, it's all hypocrisy, of course.
And my other thing is, it's like, I was watching some videos and stuff on this, and the protesters see two brown people in a car leaving Delaney Hall, and they're hooting and hollering and they're cheering and they're so excited for them, right?
Yeah.
But then on the other side of that wall that they created, you hear the ICE agents going, "They're ICE agents, you moron." So, like, how racist is it that they just see two brown people in a car and just naturally assume that they're
immigrants? You know, people like Ross Baraka, you know, you talk to people close to him, he's like, he hates white people. I mean, the guy is a total racist. You look at Mikey Sherrill. I don't know if Mikey Sherrill is a racist. I do know that she is buying into and encouraging this same narrative that this is all about rounding up brown people. And it's simply not true. They're rounding up rapists and murderers. And, you know, if anybody should be protesting, I'm thinking of protesting, Nick. I want to protest that they're being fed more food than they should be allowed, and the quality is too good. I don't want to pay for high-quality food. I want to protest ICE and say it's time to serve lumpy gray gruel without utensils. That should be what they're serving them.
Protest, Bill.
What's that?
You can't protest. You can't protest. You know why?
Why?
Because you work four full-time jobs and don't have the time to go out and work.
Oh, man. You may be right, Nick. You may be right. All right, brother. Have a great weekend. Thanks for calling. Tony, you'll be first. Other side of the news next.
From the shore to your street, we're talking about what matters to you. New Jersey 101.5.
.709 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. I want to thank the Bet Parks Online Casino and Sportsbook app for sponsoring New Jersey Chime Time every morning, every hour on the show. All right, let's jump right back into it. Talking about the conditions at Delaney Hall. I think it's legitimate to protest the food. I think it's too good. Why are these scumbag criminals being served better food than the folks that are living in NYCHA, public housing in New York, or the state prison system, or many of our hospitals for that matter? Or our schools? Serve them gruel. Lumpy, gray oats on a tray. No silverware, because safety. Let's go to Tony and Brick. What's going on, Tony? What do you think?
Good morning, Phil.
Morning.
Three quick things.
Shoot.
First thing, they should pass a federal law, just like we have for Election Day. You're not allowed to assemble, put up signs, do anything within so many feet of a polling place. Well, it should be that way for federal buildings and other businesses. Protect them. You still have the right to protest, but not right in front. Second thing, Andy Kim, Cory Booker, Mikey Sherrill, you were elected by the people of New Jersey, yet none of you spoke up about the 8-year-old girl who was bashed in the head by a baseball-sized rock thrown by an illegal immigrant through her school bus window.
Yeah, they
didn't show any sympathy for her, and she's a New Jersey baby. They didn't care less about her. And the third thing about Cory Booker, I would like him to be pinned to the cross about when he was mayor of Newark, how he knew about the lead in the water and they did nothing about it to protect his political career. So we use the citizens there as sacrificial lamb just so he could enhance and protect his political career, because he's nothing but a liar.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, Tony. I mean, you know, Booker was a truly incompetent mayor. There's no question about that. And, you know, it's what happens when you elect people who are thinking past the job. Cory Booker has always looked at himself as a guy that could be president. And, you know, when we walked the streets of Newark and we were on a mission at my last show, Chasing News, because we didn't believe that Cory Booker actually lived in Newark. I still believe he was actually, you know, living mainly in an apartment in New York City. But, you know, that said, we camped out at his house. And, of course, we were there for a week and never saw him once. But that notwithstanding, I walked the streets of Newark and talked to shop owners and people on the street. And I can tell you, they were all super supportive of his run for the United States Senate. And the reason, Tony, they wanted to get him the hell out of Newark. That's, you know, you want to find out about somebody, talk to the people that they were actually in charge of. And when they're like, the only way to get rid of this guy is to feed his ambition and his ego and get him elected to the U.S. Senate, that tells you everything you need to know about how he ran that city. I think the city was run far more efficiently under Sharp James. And, you know, Cory Booker sold everybody a bill of goods like he was the corruption busting guy. And it just wasn't true. It was a false narrative. Much like the false narrative surrounding ICE agents, you know, you have to ask yourself and ask Mikey Sherrill and Cory Booker and Andy Kim, you know, what are you guys doing? The reality is, Tony, they got what they wanted. Trump reneged on his campaign promise of mass deportations. Donald Trump promised mass deportations. Get these people out of our country so we can restore the job market, especially for Black Americans who are seeing their jobs taken away daily by illegal criminals. We were going to get rid of all these Chinese communists, but instead we got saddled with, you know what? If you work on a farm, you can stay. If you work in the factory, you can stay. If you are a Chinese communist spy, you can stay. All that happened. The only thing Donald Trump has been successful in doing, other than closing the southern border, which was very smart and important and necessary, is rounding up criminals. So, Tony, they got what they wanted. Red state, blue state, round up the rapists and the murderers. The left should be celebrating that they got Donald Trump to do what should have been done all along without all the political baggage of deporting everybody. So they're hypocrites. And to me, it proves the point by looking at what's happening right now. It's really gross. Anyway, Tony, how do you think it ends?
Not very good, because we're stuck with our representatives from New Jersey that do everything except protect its citizens.
Yeah. Well, you know what? The group that has to act are those 2.5 million unaffiliated voters. I've been saying this from long before I was a candidate to when I was a candidate to now after the race, that if unaffiliated voters decide to have their voices heard, we might see change. I hope to see independent candidates running in the legislative cycle in 2027 to actually run on the issues that matter to New Jerseyans. We are seeing it in the primaries now. We're seeing it in Hopatcong. We're seeing it in Bernards Township. We're seeing it in Jackson. We're seeing it across the board, Middletown, where courageous critical thinkers are fighting against the system. But the first obstacle is the current Republican Party. You got to change the Republican Party to have a legitimate opposition to the Democrats. Otherwise, we will never turn this state around. It's that simple. 1-800-283-101.5 is my number. Bethany, you'll be first on the other side of traffic and weather next.
New Jersey 101.5 Severe Weather Alerts deliver fast, accurate, critical updates from Chief Meteorologist Dan Zarrow and the New Jersey 101.5 Weather Team. Powered by Earth Treasures Jewelers, Ultimate Collision, and Meyer and DePew.
Hi. 722 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. So we're talking about these protests going on at the ICE facility in Newark. And it's getting to a point now where I'm just, my call to the protesters is go home. Go home. They're not paying you enough. If they're paying you at all, I don't know. President Trump said you're being paid. Maybe some of you are. I don't think he's wrong to call them out as a staged event. It clearly is. But don't risk your life for Mikey Sherrill or Andy Kim or Cory Booker. I can tell you guys, Andy Kim, Cory Booker, and Mikey Sherrill don't know who you are. They don't care who you are. You are just a potential viral video if you get yourself in a scuffle with an ICE agent and get yourself killed. You are just a talking point for MSNBC, CNN, News Nation, one of these liberal channels out there that will exploit your death, your injury. And all of a sudden you'll have Mikey Sherrill doing the rounds on the Sunday morning show saying, we told you this would happen. We told you ICE was dangerous. And meanwhile, it was her and her cohorts and thugs that caused the whole situation. Don't let yourself be used by these guys. They're not worthy of being used in this way. I mean, stop it. Let's go to Marie in Edison. Morning, Marie.
Good morning, Bill. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Two working days till Monday coming up.
I tell you, I agree with you 100%. I'm 76 years old. Mm-hmm. I'm a lifetime resident in New Jersey. And I'm not sure back then if the voting age was 21 or 18, but my mother took me to register and registered me as a Democrat. Well, since then, I have learned better. Now I'm a Republican, and I agree 100% with everything that Trump is doing.
What turned you into a Republican? What was it that made you leave the Democratic Party?
Well, because of what they were doing, they're dishonest, they're crooks, everything they're doing is not good for the American people. And they should be short-term. Their terms are too long.
Well, I mean, the problem is that the term limits, I've said this to my Republican friends and my friends at the convention of states, term limits is not going to solve this problem. All term limits is going to do is kick out the guys that are actually fighting for us, because there is a steady stream of government groupthinkers that will fill those slots. The real term limits need to be on the government bureaucracy. You shouldn't be allowed to have a 25-year career in government. You know, government service should be just that, government service. What I think we ought to do is pay government workers more and limit their time. You know, you get to do that for 8 years and that's it. You get to do that because until we get back control of the bureaucracy, we're in trouble. That is what most of the complaints are of elected officials that get in. They're like, I can't move the mountain. And that's the biggest problem. But Marie, you're not wrong. And I appreciate your call. Have a great rest of your day. Bethany in Clark. What's going on, Bethany?
Hi, Bill. I'm sorry to interrupt your topic, but I called yesterday and I just couldn't stay on hold.
All right, tell me.
I'm really hoping you could, can you shed a little bit of light on the Republican candidates for Senate? There are four of them and they all sound like I agree with what they say, but I didn't know if you could shed any light on them.
All right, so I'm going to speak to two of them, maybe three of them. Let me give you a quick piece on all of them. I'm going to lead with being open and honest. I voted for Justin Murphy. And the reason I voted for Justin, I actually wrote an article about that, which I'll ask producer Thomas to alert out and send on the app right now so people can read about my thinking behind that vote. Number one, Justin Murphy is a solid patriot, conservative, pro-Second Amendment, and pro-life. He was the only one of four candidates who bothered to show up at the New Jersey Right to Life dinner that I MC every year. So he was there, proud of his commitment to protecting the unborn and protecting the pregnancy resource centers from the clutches of evildoers like Josh Gottheimer and the rest of the cabal. So that's number one. He's a solid guy on that. The second thing with Justin Murphy is he's the only candidate that I've seen of the four who has an actual grassroots following. Like, this guy is with the Patriots and the conservatives in South Jersey, Burlington County. And he actually turns people out. He and Heather, who run this organization there, the Pinelands Conservatives, these guys are the real deal. They actually have a following of people. So that's number two. And number three, he's a friendly, thoughtful, non-politician. That's why I voted for Justin Murphy. Rich Tabor, I like him, state trooper, but I think Rich should have thought a lot more about his run and worked it out with the state police union before he got himself suspended in the middle of the campaign. But I understand, but I know Rich. If Justin wasn't running, I would have voted for Rich Tabor. As far as the other two, I would never support them for anything. The doctor went and kissed the ring with the VOD in Lakewood, so you know where he gets his marching orders from. And as far as the other guy, he's a loser, and I just, the guy doesn't believe in anything. I worked with him. I had the unfortunate experience of working with Zidane when we had a show on Fox, and that's a guy that would never earn my vote. So I would say it's between Tabor and Murphy, and my personal vote went to Murphy.
Perfect. Thank you. These are the nuances that you can't just get from reading their bios.
I really
appreciate it.
Happy to answer those questions, Bethany. You have a great rest of your day. Appreciate your call. I just jumped forward in time. Let's go back in time. Maybe it's 6:28. Well, it is somewhere. 7:28 in New Jersey. The news is next. Seven 7:39 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you. Go 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey. Taking your calls. 1-800-283-101.5. So yesterday we were talking about the FIFA World Cup and the potential of the New York Knicks playing in Game 6 in the championship for the NBA and how that might conflict. And, of course, we heard all the reports that, hey, sorry, Knicks fans, NJ Transit is prioritizing FIFA fans and you're on your own. So we thought, let's check in with the head of New Jersey Transit, Chris Calori. But of course, given today's news, first of all, Chris, good to have you on the show. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Of course, Bill. Always good to be with you.
I do want to talk about FIFA for a moment, but let's just tell me what's going on right now with this fire on Amtrak. What can commuters expect for the next few hours?
Yeah, a piece of concrete fell in New York Penn Station last night, and one of the Amtrak track cars was trying to repair it, and for whatever reason, it caught on fire. So they've been trying to make repairs since overnight, and I think the current estimate is that they'll try to get it done by 12 o'clock today, so let's wait and see. For commuters, we're still cross-honoring from Penn Station into New York by PATH.
So they can get on the PATH in Newark, and they're fine. Okay, well, good. At least
absolutely.
I appreciate that there's a workaround. So thank you for that, and we appreciate the job that you're doing at New Jersey Transit, trying to make what has just been a commuter nightmare for many decades a little bit better. Let's talk about the World Cup. So is it accurate what's being reported that Knicks fans are just on their own if it comes to a Game 6?
I want to be crystal clear on it. Not one person at New Jersey Transit ever said that we prefer FIFA fans over Knicks fans.
Okay.
I don't know who that person is, so let me set the record
straight. I've been hearing it for days, and I don't know who said it either, but thank you for clearing that up, Chris. It didn't sound like something that you would say as an official statement. So.
I did not, and not so, nobody that works with me said that. Okay,
I love it. Secondly, facts matter. Thank you. Go ahead.
Secondly, Bill, you know I'm a big fan of yours, but I'm very disappointed in you that you think the Knicks are going to have to go to the Game 6. They're going to win 4-0, okay? So this is not even an issue.
The Knicks for the sweep. Okay, we'll take that. Let's take that.
But let's assume for a minute that there is Game 6. So the game starts at 8:30. You can take the train all the way to 5:30 to get to Penn Station. So that's 2 hours, 30 minutes before the game. I assume somebody who's going to pay between $4,800 and $5,000 a ticket to go to a game is going to want to go to New York a couple hours early to maybe get dinner and celebrate. So no issues going there. If for some reason you want to get there right at tip-off, you can still get dropped off one block away from Madison Square Garden on the PATH system. So the transportation options are still all the same. The only thing you're not going to be able to do for just the 2.5 hours before tip-off is to take New Jersey Transit train right into Penn Station. You could take Amtrak, you could take ferries, you could take PATH, you could take bus. all the options still exist.
Let me ask you, Chris, what's the law? And thank you for clearing that up. And I think that certainly helps at least alleviate some of the stress that people are thinking, because that at least covers the commuters. So the commuter that's coming back to New Jersey working that day in Manhattan, trying to get a train at 6, they have to get on the path, take that to Newark, and then get on the train south.
No, actually, that day, the commuters leaving New York will not have an issue because the FIFA game starts at 3. That means the four-hour closure happens between 11 and 3, not during rush hour.
What about after the game? How's it work after the game?
The good news is after the game, rush hour traffic is no problem. Going into New Jersey from New York Penn Station, no problem at all. Same thing with PATH. If you want to take PATH, you will have the same option.
Okay.
So the only trains that will not, so if you are, for whatever reason, we'll use the Knicks fan, for example. Mm-hmm. If you want to go to the game and you want to be close to, let's say, the 8 o'clock hour, you will have to get off at Newark and take PATH and get dropped off one block away from Madison Square Garden.
So not necessarily a crisis. I appreciate you clearing that up. I just want to ask you, I only have about a minute left, but what was the thought process in accommodating the FIFA ticket holders through Penn Station? Was it to alleviate the traffic, the buildup, crowding? What was the thought process of doing it this way?
It's just volume, Bill. We have to move 28,000 people from Penn Station to the FIFA games in less than 4 hours. And that is a sizable volume of people that we have to move after checking their security tags and all that stuff. So this is a production like we've never seen before. Just to give you a quick contrast, Boston is moving a total of 20,000 fans. We're moving 40,000 fans during the same period. Wow. Double the capacity. Most we've ever moved in New Jersey.
Got it. Well, I want to say we are rooting for you and New Jersey Transit to make this as smooth as possible. And Chris, you know you're always welcome to call on the show. Thank you for clearing up some of the misconceptions that are out there. I do appreciate it. And keep us posted on what's happening today with the commuters. Hopefully it will be reopened by noon. So thank you, Chris. Appreciate the time.
Always Knicks 4-0, Bill.
I'm going to hold you to it. All right. Knicks in 4. You got me rooting for him. Thank you, Chris. Sorry to disappoint. That is Chris Calori, CEO of New Jersey Transit. And, you know, I think it's important to understand, you know, that their goal is to move you as efficiently as possible. Their goal is not to give you a commuter headache at all. So we're happy that that he joined us and put some context to it. 1-800-283-101.5 is my number. Do you plan on taking New Jersey Transit today or during the FIFA games or to the Knicks game? And are you more confident now hearing what Chris Calori had to say? 746, Fast Traffic, Instant Weather next.
Spring in New Jersey means real conversations with real New Jerseyans. We're New Jersey, 101.5.
7:53 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning, talking Jersey. Taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. So on the other side of the news, we ran a little long with Chris Calori. I hope you appreciated the conversation. You know, look, I will always go right to the source. I mean, it's easy, I think, to talk about the coming horror of FIFA and the, you know, worlds colliding, perfect storm of the Knicks in Game 6. And I think Chris might be right. The Knicks could sweep. We'll see. But either way, I'd rather, you know, the real news sometimes is not as clickbaity, not as sexy, not as entertaining, but it is the real news. And the truth is, if you are unfamiliar with the PATH system because you just hop on New Jersey Transit and go back and forth to Penn Station, all you got to do is get to Game 6 before 5:30, you'll be fine. So your commuters are not going to have a problem, even if it is a Game 6. If you are going to the game but you can't get there till 6:30, 7 o'clock, yeah, you take NJ Transit to Newark, and you can take the line to Journal Square and then hop on the line that goes to 33rd Street, and you're literally right there a block away. So not as chaotic as you might think, but he did have a good point. People are paying thousands of dollars for these FIFA tickets. They're spending thousands of dollars for the NBA tickets. The truth is, the other option you have, if you have that kind of money, take a car if somebody drop you off. 1-800-283-101.5 is a number. Other side, I want to talk about what's coming up this weekend. It's two working days till Monday for me, but for many, there are events happening all weekend long. What do you have going on? Let's plug a charity, an event, a candidate rally, whatever's happening this weekend. We want to know about it. 1-800-283-101.5, 755 is the time. The news is next.
For the best of New Jersey, live hosts and timely traffic and weather updates every 15 minutes. Tune into New Jersey 101.5.
It's 8:10 on New Jersey 101.5. I am Bill Spady. I want to thank the Parks Casino for sponsoring New Jersey Chime Time every morning, every hour on the show. I'm going a little out of order today. Of course, after the 8:30 news, we'll have Blue Friday. And typically on Fridays, we have our veteran check-in after the 9 o'clock news. But we're doing it today after the 8 o'clock news because our friend Michael Bohl from New Jersey Veterans Network has another commitment, so we have him joining us now. Michael, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Bill. Thanks for filling me in this morning.
Yeah, of course. I got you covered. Now, today you're joined by Jay Boxwell, who's with New Jersey Veterans of Foreign Wars. How you doing, Jay?
Great. Semper Fi, Double Dog.
Semper Fi. Good to have you both on. All right, let's do it. What's our update, Michael?
So we are at the Veterans VFW convention for the state, and we've been going over a lot of different things with legislators and really moving bills forward. I did want to share something with you. I don't know if you've been knowing this. For the last few weeks, we've been getting a lot of listeners calling. We've been able to give a washer and dryer away. We had dozens of veterans with claims and also getting housing for a couple of our veterans. But well, your listeners have really stepped up, Bill. They've been giving us clothing, bicycles, all different things, toiletries for our drive. And we had two people step up and want to help out with the barbecue and another event. So thanks for really having all that started. It's been wonderful.
I love it. I will say this, Michael, the New Jerseyans step up when it comes to our veterans, and I'm not surprised to hear that. I love the fact that you've actually had a direct connection between this segment here on Fridays and veterans who need help. And part of that is we let people know where to go. So guys, if you are a veteran and you are in need, whether it's legal help, substance abuse, mental health, whatever you got going on, you call 973-332-1556 or you go to the website njvn.org. Tell me about the convention going on. Jay, what's happening with this is your, what number is this?
This is the 107th Veteran of Foreign Wars, Farm, New Jersey convention. So we've been going strong 107 years. I got to tell you, though, we had Governor Sherrill down here yesterday.
Yeah.
And she whispered in my ear that she missed Bill Spadia from being here. She did say that. She did say that.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, well, I appreciate that. I know the governor's team loves to listen to the show in the morning. We have an interesting interaction, although it is through the third party. They won't come on the show, but you know, that's for another story. How many vets you got down there today?
We have over the course of these 3 days, we've had 600 veterans and their significant others, dependents, and spouses that have attended the convention. We gave out a couple real prominent awards to legislators in our congressional delegation as well as in New Jersey. We gave Assemblywoman Dunn and Assemblyman Rumpf the VFW State Legislator of the Year awards for their commitment to veterans.
Jay, I love to hear that. Brian Rumpf and Ara Dunn are two really great New Jersey legislators, well-deserving of the awards. Both are outspoken in their community. Both have stepped up to support veterans across the board. Thrilled to hear that.
Superstars.
Real quick, Jay, I don't have a lot of time left. Tell me, what's the function, the goal of the Department of New Jersey for the VFW, and what can veterans expect?
Veterans can expect us to continue to hold the governor's feet to the fire when it comes to getting services that our veterans have earned in New Jersey. We had the bifurcation of the Department of Military Veterans Affairs. That was a direct result of the VFW's advocacy. Now we have our cabinet-level position. But the greatest thing is we're working on legislation that's going to impact veterans, their families in New Jersey every day down at the State House. The primary bill, if I got a minute, you can give me a little latitude.
Go ahead.
We have a lot of younger veterans coming out of service still want to give back to their communities. It's Assembly Bill A-104. It streamlines the EMT certification process for veterans being discharged that want to continue their services in the community. And the other huge bill is requires our public institutions in New Jersey to provide free educational benefits to the surviving spouses and dependents of individuals that gave the ultimate sacrifice serving our country.
Jay, can you, you've got my cell. Text me what you can, what you have posted about these bills so I can get it posted on the NJ1015.com station site.
Very good. Thank
you. Yeah, I want to promote all three of those. I will post an article next week highlighting those three bills and giving out legislators' numbers and the governor's number to make sure that people call and encourage them to support this and get these three things done. They should be able to get this done in a couple of weeks. Like that fact that these things take years makes my head explode. So let's light a fire. So send me those three. Give me whatever talking points you need to communicate to everyone. I will write it up, get it posted early next week, and we'll light a fire. All right, guys, thank you. Jay Boxwell, appreciate everything you do on behalf of veterans. Michael Bohl, thank you for everything you do with the New Jersey Veterans Network. If you are a veteran and you need help, or if you want to help the cause, 973-332-1556 is the Veteran Crisis Hotline. The website is njvn.org. Thank you, gents. Appreciate you both. Semper Fi.
Semper Fi.
All right, take care, guys. Best to all the vets down there. All right, Dr., you know what? You hang in there. I'm going to get to you in 1 second about the Greek Festival coming up because I'm excited about it. Let me know what is going on in your neck of the woods. 1-800-283-101.5. 816, fast traffic, instant weather next.
Spring days, hot topics. New Jersey's conversation lives here. New Jersey 101.5.
823 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey, taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. And I have said this, I'll say it one more time. If governor's office, look, we'd love to have Governor Sherrill join us on the morning show. And, you know, she's a veteran. I think she can probably take the criticism. And if she ever wants to talk to the largest audience in the state, the line is open. All right. We're talking about your events coming up this weekend and beyond. We're going to start with Rose Beth in Morristown. Good morning, Rose Beth. How are you?
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing
the whole
great.
New Jersey 101.team.
Well, thank you. Everybody's excited because it's Friday for some of us, as you know, two working days till Monday ahead. But all good. Yeah. We're blessed to have the work. So what do you have going on?
So, Bill, as you know, we have three great candidates running for Morris Township Committee, George Tallarico, Jocelyn Grizzetti, and John Beal. Our committee actually thought what a great idea to have a beautiful wine soiree at a mansion in Morris Township, all while meeting our goals to help these local candidates go door to door with the necessary tools they need to actually win back three of the five township seats that unfortunately and presently held by the Democrats, because we want our voices to be heard.
So John certainly has been on the show, as has George, and, you know, they're all three great, great candidates. And we've talked about this, local matters, the idea that many of these local Democrats, especially in Morris County and in Morris Township in particular, are playing to a different crowd. They're playing to the national Democrats, the statewide Democrats, instead of focusing on what the town needs immediately in town. So yeah. I love local. I think that this can happen. This is going to be a great year in Morris Township. Tell me the event. Where is the event? What time is it? And where do people go to get tickets?
So they the event is on June 3rd, Wednesday, June 3rd. It is at 58 Canfield Road in Morristown, GPS Morristown. And they can go get the tickets at morristownshipgop.com.
MorrisTownshipGOP.com. All right, guys. I wish I could make it on Wednesday, but I can't. But whatever the next event coming up, I'm sure there's going to be a lot coming up between now and November. So, Rosebeth, keep us posted. Thank you. And I will talk to you in a little bit.
Great. Thanks so much, Bill.
You got it. You take care. All right. That is MorrisTownshipGOP.com. Okay. I want to get to everybody, but I don't want to cut you off. And Dr. Yannakakis, hang in there. You'll be first, and then Jackie on the other side of the news with Eric Scott, which is now. Oh, by the way, actually, it's Blue Friday. Producer Thomas is reminding me. So we're going to do Blue Friday, and then I'll get to your calls right after the news next.
New Jersey 101.5 presents Blue Friday with Bill Spadia.
Every year, police officers across New Jersey join a bike race to Washington, D.C. to honor fallen law enforcement heroes. It's called the Unity Tour. You've heard of it. A four-day event covering approximately 300 miles, and it's all set up to raise funds for the National Law Enforcement Memorial and Museum. Hillsborough Police Officer Christopher Weckenman was on his way to join the 2026 race, and he was driving along Amwell Road in Hillsborough, heading to the meetup point, and he noticed flames shooting out of a barn window just off the roadway. So he stopped, gets out, rushes toward the burning barn, and as the flames intensified, he moves in to make sure there's no one inside, no animals inside. So he finds no one in immediate danger, calls 911, and gets fire department to respond. For several minutes while they were responding, he's providing live updates on his phone while he is going in and taking out power equipment. So he's literally cleaning out the barn because you've got power equipment that's got gas in it. There are gas cans. So he clears it out to prevent the fire from getting explosive. Now, he also then recognized that there was a house right nearby. So he runs over, helps evacuate everybody out of the home because you never know with a fire like that, with the wind, etc. So once he saw that everybody was safe, the fire crews were on scene, getting the fire under control. But Officer Christopher Weckenman's job, not over yet. To add to this intense situation, Officer Weckenman noticed a frightened dog who was running loose toward incoming and oncoming traffic. The dog clearly was startled by all the chaos, and he was very close to the road. So, boom, full sprint. Officer Weckenman gets there, secures the dog, keeps the little guy from running into traffic. And because of this police officer's quick action, remaining calm under pressure and putting the safety of others first, he is our Blue Friday honoree, preventing a dangerous fire from literally becoming a tragedy. That was all on the hands of Hillsborough Police Officer Christopher Weckenman. Of course, we want to thank the firefighters who got the fire under control and out. And Hillsborough Mayor Catherine Payne honored Officer Weckenman with a proclamation in recognition of his heroic actions. The officer was joined by his wife and kids at the Township Committee meeting earlier this week. It just goes to show, even when off duty, police officers' job is never done. So I want to thank all the good folks at the Hillsborough Police Department, and in particular our Blue Friday honoree for this week, Officer Christopher Weckenman of Hillsborough PD. And thanks to all the cops out there, all that you do, keeping the roadways safe. We appreciate you, we respect you, we honor you, and we value the fact that you get up every morning to go and help complete strangers. Most of the people you help save, you never knew before the incident that you had to be involved in. So we appreciate that self-sacrifice and commitment that you have. All right, it is 8:41. Now, if you want to read the full story and a little bit more about what the mayor had to say about Officer Weckenman, you can check out the website, nj1015.com/Bill Spadia. And if you've got a Blue Friday honoree that you'd like us to honor on the show on a Friday, hit us up on the app or on the website. Either way, there is a one of the first things that pops up when you get to my show is a picture. I believe it's a picture now of three state troopers. You click on that, and there's a form for you to fill out if you've got someone you want to recommend. Okay, 842 on New Jersey 101.5. We're talking about what you got going on this weekend. We'll start with Dr. Yannokokis. Hey, Doc, what's going on?
Hello, and kudos again to Christopher in Hillsborough.
Right?
Very nice. Good story.
Yeah, it really is. So, Doc, you're in South River. What do you got going on this weekend?
Well, actually, in Perth Amboy, we have the Amboy Greek Fest at amboygreekfest.com. It starts this afternoon. On the schedule, it says 5 o'clock we start, but we're ahead of schedule, so people should start strolling in at around 3 or 4 o'clock. We'll be ready for them.
It's amboygreekfest.com?
Yes, sir. www.amboygreekfest.com. It's right. The St. Demetrius Greek Festival.
I love the Greek Festival.
By the bay.
It is such a great festival. I love it. So today you're showing 5 to 10, but you're saying you'll be ready for folks if they want to come earlier.
Yeah, that's correct. I can announce that as of now, literally moments ago.
All right, so I'm looking at the website. My favorite, of course, is the souvlaki. I love it.
Mine too.
It's good protein. I like the little bit of the oil and the oregano. Souvlaki is one of my favorites. Oh, my God, I love it.
All literally handmade.
Yeah.
Supplied, I might add, and I would like to shout out the Spark Good program that the Walmart Foundation funds. But it is all handmade by Evan's Restaurant.
Really? How's the moussaka?
Yeah, and I just dropped it off yesterday. That's, by the way, Edison Diner.
Moussaka. No kidding. The moussaka. Yeah, is it moussaka? Is that how I say it?
Yeah, that's exactly
Moussaka.
Right.
Moussaka. Well, if Edison Diner is making it, you know, I don't know that I've been to the Edison Diner. The one right on Route 1, right?
That's correct. Yes, sir.
I have to stop in because my wife, Jody, has made the moussaka, and it is one of my favorite dishes. It's basically Greek shepherd's pie, essentially.
And correct.
Yeah. Oh, I love
it. And the Kalambakis family that runs the Edison Diner, they do a great job.
Well, tell them I appreciate everything they're doing. So go to amboygreekfest.com. Awesome.
That's correct.
Doc, have a great weekend.
St. Demetrius, Perth Amboy. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
You too. Dr. Yannokokis, what a good guy. Appreciate that. Now I'm thinking about the moussaka and it's got like the mash on top. I mean, it's delicious. And if you've never had it, Edison Diner, there's a great plug for a New Jersey small business. We love that. Okay, Jackie, you'll be first on the other side of traffic and weather coming up next.
Windows down, opinions up. New Jersey's talking all day. Call 1-800-283-1015 to join the conversation. New Jersey 101.5.
8:52 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning, talking Jersey, taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. All right, what's going on this weekend? We'll start with Jackie in East Hanover. Morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Bill.
What do you got for us? I have to be honest, I'm really thinking about souvlaki right now. Right?
Well, it's not food at all. It's keeping kids safe in their car seats.
All right, tell me about it. What do you got?
All right. Safe Kids Northern New Jersey is holding a free child passenger safety car seat inspection today at the East Hanover Firehouse on Ridgedale Avenue from 9 to 12. And we have 23 newly trained technicians here to help families keep their kids safe. And we're doing this because 3 out of 4 car seats are misused every single day.
What's the most common mistake that people make? They don't know how to buckle the belt in right? Like, how do you not put it in right? Or are they? I remember fighting with the car seats when we had little kids. It used to aggravate me. Not as aggravating as putting lights on the Christmas tree or taking them off and trying to keep them from getting tangled. But I would say top 10 aggravating things trying to get a car seat in. How about this? Why don't the manufacturers make them easier to put in?
So, you know, honestly, the technology's changing tremendously. and more of the car seat manufacturers are now using YouTube videos and making it a lot easier, but we still have a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
Your question about the number one misuse, we'd probably have to say it's not securing the car seat in the vehicle. It's got to be at least less than an inch of movement side to side. And then the harnesses are not tight on the children. And so on impact, those kids can go flying. So we want to make sure that they're safe.
All right. Well, thank you, Jackie. East Hanover Firehouse today. What time? What's the time frame?
From 9 to 12 this morning.
9 to 12. Get over there and make sure your car seat's in properly. Thank you, Jackie. Appreciate you.
Awesome. Thank you.
You bet. Have a great weekend. All right. Allison, hang in there. I'm going to get to you. But right now, it's coming up on 8:55. So we're going to take a break and let Jen Arcillo start with the news in about 5 minutes.
New Jersey 101.5. Great New Jerseyans talking Jersey stuff. Jump in anytime. Call. App chat. Be a part of it. New Jersey 101.5.
.908 on New Jersey 101.5. I am Bill Spady. I want to thank the BetParks Online Casino and Sportsbook app for sponsoring New Jersey Chime Time every morning, every hour on the show. I'm going to make a request to Mike Brandt, who's behind the board, Jen.
Mike.
So I don't know who runs the app chat.
Okay.
But it occurs to me that the auto response. Now, if you're on the app chat, I just want to let you know, I do read them. Producer Thomas will respond to them, but I'm not able to respond to each of them. So it's the app chat and the YouTube comments. Keep them coming. I scroll through and I will be able to answer some questions on the air. But if you've got a real question, call.
Yeah.
You don't have to go on the air. If you have a legit question about an advertiser or something I said or something you wish I'd said or something you're super mad about or happy about, compliments, welcome. I don't get often, but welcome. The line is 1-800-283-101.5. I say that because I don't want you to feel like your comment goes into nowhere. Right. However, sometimes people say some pretty colorful things on the app chat, and sometimes they're attacking politicians or attacking me. My response is, thank you for your message, with an exclamation point. So if it's Bill, you are a real F this, that, and the other thing, my response is, thank you for your message, with an exclamation point.
Wow.
So I kind of feel like it should be something like, your message has been received. We appreciate you.
A simple message.
You want a new response?
That doesn't look, I think we need a new response.
Because it sounds like it's just like an automatic response. You didn't
it
write
is.
That.
Yeah. If I will not respond to you on the app chat. I'm just saying this out loud because people expect that I will. I won't.
It's
and the reason is this. Until this computer, so let's just say management is listening right now. I don't know. And let's just say maybe one of the management folks is named Sam.
Maybe, yeah.
So let's just call Sam and say, Sam, if the computers were upgraded in the studio, I might be able to respond to the app chat.
Faster.
See, if I tried to respond now, it'll be like tick, 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 tick. I'll have the big buffering and it won't load.
Oh, Mike, get on that.
That's the problem. So I'm just throwing it out there. All right. Housekeeping. All right. Is that all right?
I'll get on that.
Thank you, Mike.
The good news now with the YouTube comments, by the way, I wanted just to go back to that.
Yep.
Another outlet for hate.
Well, interesting you say that. Yes, that is true. We are getting a lot of love on YouTube.
Ooh, good.
YouTube is becoming the channel of love.
The love-o-meter.
There's a love-o-meter building on the YouTube channel.
You could start a love-o-meter.
But I'm telling you, the YouTube commenters are following the show. App chat commenters sometimes follow the show, sometimes just get on there and they're like, they just want me to know how much they hate me.
Correct.
So there's a mix. I'm not getting that on YouTube as much, but I love the YouTube. If you go to YouTube.com and just type in 101 NJ1015, mm-hmm. My smiling face will come up, and boom.
Speaking of that, am I still a vampire or am I on today?
No, I see you today. Mike,
I'm never in the right seat. I'm just not sitting in the right spot.
No, you're in the right spot now, Jen.
Now I am. Okay.
Mike, do you see her?
Oh, I see her, yeah.
All right, well,
yeah.
Apparently where I was sitting before did not work, so.
Yes, and then we concluded that if we try to move the camera, it might cut me out, and that's not okay.
That
was not okay, so we're not doing that.
You're right on the edge. Yep, I can see you.
All right.
And if I may give out some prizes if people people can name the show that we're watching behind us.
Well, right now we're in commercial, but yes.
Right, right.
It's enough, so, but it's cut off just enough to give a clue.
Just enough, right?
Yep. Yes.
All right, let's go to Allison in Chester. What do you got going on this weekend, Allison?
Good morning, Bill.
Morning.
So Chester is having their 28th annual spring craft show.
Nice.
May 30th and 31st from 10 to 5. We have about 175 crafters, designers, metal artisans, everything at the show is U.S. made. It's a juried craft show by Rose Squared. You're supporting our town and our local businesses.
Where is it, Allison? Do they shut Main Street down? Is it on the sidewalks? Where is it? If I'm driving to Chester, where do I go?
If you're driving to Chester, you're going to go past. So if you're going to come up 206, you're going to turn right, go through Main Street, past PH Steakhouse on the left,
okay,
and then you're going to see our municipal field, which is 134 Main Street.
Got it.
There's parking all around. By my shop, which is Black River Candy Shop, which I recommend everyone going.
Oh, I love
There's
it.
Ample parking there as well.
Black River Candy Shop. What's your specialty?
Oh, classic candies like yeah. Zagnut bars and
how about jelly beans?
American candy bars. Oh, I have Jelly Belly beans, hundreds of them, it feels like.
Yeah, I love jelly beans. I'm pretty strict with my diet now, so, you know, but without the seed oils and everything else, I haven't had a jelly bean in years. But if I were going to break, I think that's where I'd go. I love them.
What's your favorite flavor?
Ooh, that's a great question. I was thinking about that actually as I was saying it. I don't know. I don't like licorice. So, you know, my favorite one, actually, the whatever the pink one is that like a strawberry or the pink ones, are the best ones.
Oh,
you have
pink bubblegum. Pink, it's cotton candy. Many different flavors.
Yeah, because it's like this little burst of sweet. I love it. All right, Allison, thank you. The Chester Spring Craft Fair, and stop by Allison's Candy Shop on your way. You make a right if you're going north on 206 at the old Larrick's, and boy, am I hoping they do something with that, Allison, right?
Alstead's is doing something with it at some point.
All right. I hope so. We're going to find out. Have a great, great weekend, Allison. Thanks for checking in.
You too. Thanks for taking my call.
You
Bye-bye.
Got it. Take care. 9:15, Fast Traffic Instant Weather next.
Fun, laughs, great conversation, and guests you want to hear from. It's 100% Trev. Weeknights on New Jersey 101.5.
9:21 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. So we're talking about what you're doing this weekend. Jill Myra, you got a show this weekend?
I do not. My next show is coming up July 17th and 18th at Catch a Rising Star.
Two nights at Catch a Rising Star, Woo! Which is at the Hyatt Regency.
Yeah, Gary Delanna.
On Route 1 in Princeton.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the headliner?
The headliner is Gary Delanna, and he's
I just
adorable.
Saw you and Gary on the bill. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, going to be
Who's
featuring
hosting?
Probably Jay Joshi. She is hilarious.
Jay Joshi is very funny,
right?
And very nice.
Yes.
And I think she had to overcome my politics to be able to be okay. You're not
well, a lot of people have to overcome.
She had to overcome it. Be like, all right, you're not a terrible person, right? I mean, I really like Jay. Yeah. I think Catch is a great little comedy spot. It's got to only be, 90 seats in there? 90,
and, you know,
75
it's just,
seats?
Yeah,
it's small.
And the Hyatt
it's
is so
intimate.
Beautiful.
I think it's great.
Yeah. You know where I'm going tonight?
Where?
Parks Casino, my happy place. Yeah.
We love Parks Casino.
Yeah, so I'm going to go see him.
Oh,
it's Ambrosia and Pablo Cruz.
Are you going? Are you headlining a show? Or
no,
you're just going?
Watch a show.
No kidding. I love it. I've got a thing there. I'm doing the comedy night.
Are you?
When?
Oh my gosh.
Now I don't know.
I
forgot. Wait, Lauren just texted me.
Oh, this is exciting.
Yeah,
this is how I ended up as a stand-up comic.
Let me just see.
From Parks.
What's that?
Yep.
What's
because
it?
Of Parks. That's why
that
I
that was where
into
you
this.
First, right? When you first showed up and you did mm-hmm. and you were great that first time because it was your comedy. I've said this that Jill's comedy is entertaining because it's so natural. Like you are storytelling about your insane life.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize how insane your life is until I saw you on stage. I'm like, oh, okay. That like, that oh, tracks. Hey, I'm not just making up. I'm not writing jokes here. I'm telling you what happened on Tuesday.
Oh,
like,
man. That's, I could really.
I know. And it's very funny. And, thanks, and your delivery Bill. Now, you've been doing this 2 years now.
Isn't that crazy? Because of Parks Casino.
Parks Casino.
So that is a great show. When are you? Or so do we have
hold
your
on, wait.
Date?
I got distracted. Now I got to look. Lauren texted me.
I so am going.
You got to go. Yeah, it's
and the Parks
July 16th.
Oh my gosh, it's the night before me. This is awesome.
July 16th. Yeah.
Three
so
days
you're,
in a row.
You've got this 3 days in a row. You know what? If I'm around, Jody and I will come to one of the shows.
Oh, that's
at the
Hyatt. And I totally
did you say
will
June or July?
July.
It's July 16th and 18th. Yeah. 17th and 18th.
And you're.
So I'm the 16th at.
July.
So what is that? A Thursday? Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're Friday and Saturday.
Yep.
It's going to be great.
Oh, that's
yeah,
awesome.
It's going to be great. All right. Oh, what time is it? I should probably. Let me get to Carol in. Yeah. But it's good, though. But I mean this. Go follow me on social media. I shared Jill's post for her appearance at Catch a Rising Star in Jersey. And if you're watching on YouTube right now, we've got a little bit of a Lion King going on. Would you just real quick, Jill, if you don't mind, everybody hang in there. Your mic's not on because I wish people had heard that. You're
no,
singing the Lion King
on.
Song. Just introduce your furry friend here.
Oh, it's Winnie. She's like our
Winnie
station.
The dog.
She's the station dog.
Winnie, the fact that Winnie has not been injured in the making of this show is impressive. The doors are super heavy. They're
oh,
like
yeah,
fire
one day
doors.
It was kind of close, yeah.
Right? And there have been a few times, and I noticed mm-hmm. you warn people. So I don't know, Mike, if you recognize that the dog ran behind the board today.
Oh, I'm used to Winnie running around yeah. where I am.
But I she's too small. Like, I'm yeah. worried I'm going to step on
yeah,
her.
She's like a ferret.
Yeah, a little
she's
bit of a
7 pounds.
And doesn't smile.
She does when we're home. She,
yeah.
she when she's here.
She looks super serious. Like,
I know,
like
right?
what's going on here?
Yeah.
Like, Mom, put me down. And what's happening? And
why
is this guy
here?
Never shut up? Like, there's a lot going on with this dog. But if you're looking on YouTube, that is Winnie the dog. We're thinking that Winnie should probably have her own, I'm thinking Instagram page.
We were talking about having a dedicated Friday Winnie.
The Winnie cam.
The Winnie cam in the afternoon when Jill's here during the afternoon show. You watch us do our thing and Winnie's sitting there in the chair.
That's not, well, if what I would consider doing is put her in this chair and then use the close-up mic.
Yeah,
well,
I like
and
that.
And switch to that. Why don't we try that in the next hour?
We should try that.
Let's see if she'll sit still enough to sit in the chair.
Oh, she will. Absolutely,
yeah?
She will. Yeah.
All right, love it. Let's go to Carol in Edgewater Park. Good morning, Carol. What do you got going on this weekend?
Oh, good morning. Edgewater Park is the Burlington County Edgewater. Now, don't get confused. There's another Edgewater 2 hours north of us, but we are the yeah. ones in Burlington County right along the Delaware River.
So you're Edgewater, South Jersey days. Edgewater Park in
we
Burlington
are indeed.
County. So what's going on?
We have our townwide yard sale every year, and we have three roads coming into the town. The center one, which is mm-hmm. Cooper Street, is a turn off of Route 130 right at the 45th Street Pub. And by the way, 45th Street Pub is offering prime rib $10.99 every Friday night from 5 to 7.
I love
so
that.
I go up there for my meat. However, just turn off Route 130 next to the 45th Street Pub. McDonald's is on the other corner. And you're in the center of our town. That's called Cooper Street, named after James Fenimore Cooper, of the author of the Leather Stocking Tales, Last of the Mohawk Indians. And so anyway, the entire town, everybody sets up a table. We have between 10 and 20,000 people that come into town.
Wow, no kidding.
It's particularly interesting because we have the oldest, longest Memorial Day parade, and it got washed out. So everybody was planning to do something fabulous for Memorial Day, and we all got, you know, thumbs
yeah,
down
yeah,
on that.
Yeah, the weather did not cooperate.
Now everybody is psyched up that their table's
love it.
Ready.
All right, Carol, what time does it start tomorrow?
It starts 8 to 12 on Saturday.
8 to noon on Saturday, Edgewater Park in Burlington County on the river. Get there. I'm sure you're going to get some great deals. Go and haggle. Thanks, Carol. Have a great weekend. 928, Eric Scott. Or no, you know what? Jen Ursillo with your news next.
5.
938 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey. Taking your calls. 1-800-283-101.5. You know, it's interesting, Jen and Mike, that the randomness of this show. So Jill Myra just came torching in. her and Kyle were apparently, I'm watching them. They're having this in-depth conversation. I'm like, and I start thinking, what could they be talking about? Is everything okay? Is the dog all right? Somebody.
It was pretty intense.
It was super intense. Yeah. And Kyle looked very serious. Like he looked over at me.
He did.
And he had a serious look. I now know what they were talking about.
But clearly you thought it was about you at first.
I did, of course, yeah, as I often do. I see people talking here. I'm like, oh, I wonder what they're saying about me.
Right, exactly.
I think, like, is it positive about me? Is it negative about me? Eh. You know, how do you feel about me? Like, it's one of those, right?
You know.
Apparently, this was not about me.
No.
It was about how often they do laundry.
Correct.
Yep.
It made no sense.
It was the most random. And Jill came bursting in like,
she did.
I have to ask you a very serious question. How often do you do laundry?
Yeah, and then you answered her.
I did answer.
I did not answer.
We are daily laundry users.
I didn't know what to expect. The serious nature of that.
That's too much detergent. It was heavy. Yeah, that's too much detergent you're using all week. I can't do that.
Well, here's the thing. So you got to wash the yoga stuff right away. Like, you can't let yoga. I mean, I'll sweat out 5 pounds in a yoga class.
Yeah, that'll reek.
It would be disgusting. Every year we throw stuff away and we got to buy new stuff.
Yeah.
Like I change the mats. I change the towels.
Yeah.
But you've got to wash this stuff. In the summer, I will wring the towels out before I even put them in the car to go home.
I get it. That's different.
So maybe that's. I probably shared a lot more information than anyone listening wanted to know. But yeah, we're doing laundry daily.
So when my son was in high school and he was a varsity swimmer, I was doing laundry every night because you have to wash out that chlorine from whatever they wore.
Well, because it can irritate your skin.
Absolutely. So every night they did that. But now, I don't know, like twice a week maybe? Once? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe once a week.
All right. So here's the question. What do you do with the laundry? You put it in a basket at the end of the hall? You got a hamper, like an old-fashioned hamper?
One room has the hamper, and then the
rest. I say old-fashioned because I had that as a kid.
Me too.
And I would get in trouble for leaving clothes on the floor.
Always.
And my mother would make me put it in the hamper. Yeah. Right? But it had it was like a trash can.
Yeah.
Ours was in the bathroom, and that's
Yeah, we have nothing so fancy. We use baskets.
Well, I have a basket down in the laundry room, and my son has one. We have one hamper in his room. So his usually is piled up by day two.
But I don't wear a lot of clothes, different clothes.
You need to rephrase that one.
All right, let me say that differently. So when I'm working weekends, I'm wearing a suit. So the suits go to the dry cleaners. I can wear a suit. I'll get 4 or 5 sometimes more wears out of it. The challenge is when I do the Newsmax, when I'm hosting in the 3-hour show on Sunday, you get creases in the suit because I never leave the studio.
Right. Okay.
And we are behind a desk. So like tonight, I'm hosting for Ed Henry at 5 o'clock, and then I'm doing 6 o'clock. So I'm doing the shows back to back, and so I'll be in a suit tonight. So what I'm wearing now, like I've had this hoodie and Henley on all week,
and nobody would have known except you just said it. So
now we know.
Well, that's no one notices. Right. Have you noticed that?
People are watching this
on video. Nobody's commented. Like I've had the same hat on, same pair of jeans. Yeah.
Well, jeans you can wear like 5 days in a row. You're not supposed to wash very often anyway.
Some people say you're not supposed to wash them at all.
You're not supposed to wash them at all.
Ridiculous. Who doesn't wash their jeans? Yeah, who was it? Some talking head on CNN said that.
But you're not supposed to wash them a lot because it does wear out the, so I always say you can definitely get a few wears out of jeans. Unless you're spilling something on it, you can wear your jeans for a few days.
Once a week.
Yeah.
And I rotate between two pairs of jeans.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can wear the same pair of jeans every day for a week.
I'm not dressing for the video here. I will wear this exact same outfit probably next week. It'll get washed tonight. And then I'll have the same exact thing on next. I'm not wearing socks.
You could switch it up.
I grounded today, by the way.
You what?
Oh, don't you know about the grounding? I've got a whole...
No.
I wrote a whole article about the ground. It's what caused the ruckus over my feet.
Oh, yeah.
Because I posted a picture of my feet and people commenting on my feet.
I forgot about this.
That caused a 3-month controversy.
I forgot.
And led to a full disclaimer that my feet are not the fungus feet in the ads on whatever the heck that... Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, point is, we discussed laundry. Grounded today, so I don't wear socks. I've got these great slide-on shoes, and I can walk out and stand on the ground. You want to stand barefoot. First of all, you need morning sun. Your eyes need to have sun before 10 a.m.
We've talked about this.
Solid 10 to 20 minutes.
Yes.
It triggers a reaction in your body to start producing melatonin so that you'll fall asleep easier and faster when the sun goes down.
Mike, aren't you glad you're here? You're learning, you're learning a lot.
Just the full circle here.
The grounding pulls the energy of the earth up into your body.
We've seen you
stand on bare grass and look at the sun. You don't really have to look directly at it. You kind of look near it. You want to get the sun's rays in your eyes. So I don't wear sunglasses. Anyway.
That's right. I forgot sunglasses are
now
bad
people
for
are
going to
go.
No, they're not good for it. You shouldn't wear sunglasses. I mean, unless it's a safety issue. You can't look, Jill, literally the prop. She's wearing sunglasses inside.
I'm saying, I wear them for the coolness factor. Like, you know, hey, they're cool. I like, come on, Jen.
You're cool anyway.
It completes the fact.
All right. It's 9:44. I'm going to try to squeeze in a call or two after traffic and weather next.
Start your day with Bill Spadia. Keep it going with Judy and EJ. Ride home with Dominski and more. We're New Jersey 101.5.
Bye.
9:51 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. All right, we're going to try to squeeze at least one in. Let's go to Kristen in Holmdel. Kristen, you are a candidate. You want to make a quick plug. Go ahead.
Sure, Bill. Thanks. Good morning. Well, look, I call it the great gaslighting of Holmdel, and people are waking up to it. So, you know, there's a lot of instances of the township committee running around and saying, you know, we're not raising your taxes, but everybody in town knows their taxes are going up. And we have one thing to blame, and it's the pilot program. You have the giant, ugly utility poles going up around town, and the mayor steps in and says, well, you know, I stand with you guys. I'm with the town, yet they knew about these poles since 2023. JCP&L went on Channel 12 and said, we've been working with the town since 2023. Township never mentioned anything. These poles, Bill, are like nothing we've ever seen before. There were no renderings, no alerts. No plans. We have a resident who JCP&L will tell him, look, we knocked on your door. We told you about it. And he said, you know what? I have cameras all over my house. Tell me the day you were here.
So, Kristen,
and I'll tell you you're lying.
Give me your last name. You're on the ballot for June 2nd. You're running in the council. Who are you running against?
Okay. So my name's Kristen Solero. My running mate, Ron Emma, and I are running. We're Holmdel First Slate. And we're Republican candidates for the Holmdel Township Committee. I'd rather not name my opponents, but if I have to, you have TJ Mann, Gary Vanderham, and Joe Romano.
So the reason I ask that is I want to make sure if you're supportive of Greg Buontempo, I'm happy to help you plug you, and because you know Greg is a friend of mine and a good guy, and I think he's one of the few voices of reason, and that's why the Monmouth County organization hates his guts. Because he's the real deal. So, Kristen, you got to get there. Yeah. Do me a favor, Kristen. Send me a note. Tag me on social media so I can share. If you've got an event coming up, we gotta get Greg all the support he needs on that council to turn Holmdel back around. I'm with you 100%.
Thanks, Bill. We're going to turn it around. Okay. I'll get that over to you.
Please do. Just tag me on Twitter or Facebook so I can share your campaign info. Thanks, Kristen. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Enjoy the weekend. Enrique, sorry I didn't get to you, but there is a car show in Parlin this weekend. Enrique, best to the whole family. Guys, enjoy the two working days until Monday. Catch me on Newsmax tonight and Saturday morning, Sunday morning, and then again on Monday night, and I will be right back here Monday morning, 6 a.m. Enjoy it. We do as we please when the world